listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail. For what He has said, He will do. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
You see, to the Jewish people who do not understand Jesus is their Messiah and He went to the cross to take the shame and the blame and the sin and all that for them, to them the cross is a curse. Because the Word says, cursed is he who dies on a cross, right? So, yes, indeed, Jesus, Yeshua, took the curse upon Himself and went to the cross. But for us, the Word of God says, take up your cross daily. If anyone would come after me, let him put on his cross jewelry. Not quite what it says. It says, if anyone would come after me, let him exalt himself, promote himself, look for more titles, deny himself. We're talking about being a light, what it's about. This light has a reflection of who Jesus is, and it reflects through good deeds. It reflects through a surrendered life to Christ, but a life of service to others. But if any would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So many have said a prayer of belief and acceptance of Jesus Christ, but shouldn't we remember that being a child of God is a follower of God too? Not just believing. So in the same way, let your good deeds shine out. Now tell me that. Come on. Let's say it together. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Wow. Well, thank the Lord, it's not quite time to leave yet, is it? Not quite. I'm the light of the world. You are the light of the world. In Revelation, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. In chapter 1 it talks about, chapter 1, Revelation 12, it says, when I turned to see who was speaking to me, this is John, who was in the Spirit, we talked about that. John said, when I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands. This is chapter 1, 12, we're going to go to 2 in a second. When I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. The lampstand was like the menorah that was in the tabernacle and then of course would end up in the temple. I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle or in the midst of the lampstands was the Son of God. What are lampstands for? To give light. Who is in the middle of that light? Where and what is he doing? He's standing in the middle. He is the heart source. He is the core source of the light. He is in the midst of the seven lamps, which are the seven churches. And so he is moving in the churches to release his light. You say, well, I thought he was seated at the right hand of God. He is seated at the right hand of God, but he's also standing in the midst of us. Amen. This morning, the light source. When you're coming under the mocking and the persecution and the lying, maybe it would be helpful for us to remember that in the midst, in the center of our heart and our life and our spirit is Jesus in all of His brilliance and His strength and His power and His light inside of us, strengthening us. We're not standing alone. And then in chapter 2, we see this. I don't think I had specifically noticed this like this before. Till recently. This church we're going to look at is to the angel of the church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, and the one who does what? Walks among the seven gold lampstands. He's here. I know all the things you do. God knows what you're going through. I know what you're going through. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. You put up with a bunch of garbage. The world would use different words, I know. I mean, we could say dung, maybe. Maybe that would be acceptable in church. We put up with a lot of the world's manure, let me just say that. And Jesus is saying, I know you've worked hard to hang on. But you have been patient and you have endured. But listen, church, I'm talking to the end time church. You're the end time church. This letter was to the end time church. The end time church that's 2,000 years later. And so when you're dealing with the darkness, and you're dealing with the demons, and you're dealing with the devils, and you're dealing with the accusations and the mocking and the lying, and you're in the midst of it. Remember that Jesus is in the midst of His church and He's in you. I know you don't tolerate evil people. In other words, you have a high standard. Haven't compromised. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles and are not. You know the difference between in discerning between that which is right and righteous and that which is wrong and is simply a demon in sheep's clothing. You've discovered that they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. Amen. It's all good stuff, right? It's all good. Oh, but now we come to something Jesus has as a very high priority. The world wants to destroy love as God has made it. But God said, God made love, and love is powerful. And we know that love covers a multitude of sins, right? For God so loved. God is love. We know all these scriptures. But I have this complaint against you. You're doing all these things really right, but you don't love me as you used to. Now that's not someone that has prostituted themselves. This is not someone that's worshiping idols. It's not someone that is involved in loving the world with purpose. This is someone that is committed to Christ, but has simply lost first love. Has lost, thank you, sunshine, the fire. Love in its most intense emotional state is fiery. In its greatest spiritual sense is fiery, it's powerful. The demonstration is a demonstration. Our life, we don't live this life because of some religious commitment, but it's because we are passionately in love with God. God wants the end time church to be passionately in love with Him. Now I know, because you all are at the advanced church, that none of you came this morning out of duty, but you came out of love. You didn't give this morning out of duty. Well, the law says I have to give, and so I'm going to give. I fulfilled the law. That's law. That's not relationship. We're talking about fire in the altar and light on the candelabra. And we probably this morning won't get into those scriptures because we're almost finished. But that we're looking at this. What was that all about? What was that picture of on the altar you're to have a burnt offering? And the burnt offering, it stays on the altar even through the whole night. And what happens in the morning? In the morning, you keep the fire burning and you remove the ashes from the sacrifice yesterday, and you put a new burnt offering on it, and you stir up the wood and you stack it in, and it's to burn all day and all night again. And then tomorrow, you do the same thing. When daylight comes, the priest must get dressed, and he must go in, and he must tend the fire, and he must remove the ashes and refuel the fire. A relationship with God must be fueled and stirred, and the ashes have to be shaken out, and they have to be taken out so that the fire continues to burn inside of us. You ladies don't want to hear your husband say, "I love you. I work 3 jobs to show you I love you. I keep a roof over your head to show you I love you." The husband doesn't want to come home and hear, "Well, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't do your stinking laundry. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't burn your cook your dinner at night. If I didn't love you, you know, I wouldn't be putting up with your attitude." What are we saying when we say these kinds of things? We're saying that I do these things to show you I love you. That is the wrong way for love to work. If I'm doing things to prove something, then it's not really accepted that well. But if I do anything and everything because of a passionate love in my heart for my wife, God's not saying, I want you to serve me out of law. He's saying, I want you to know me out of love. He's not saying, I want you to memorize all of the laws and I want you to be perfect in everything that you do. No, God the Father is saying, you could never be perfect. So I sent my Son. He's the perfect one. And I want you to be in love with my Son. And I want you to simply walk with me. You know what sin did? Sin in the garden broke fellowship. What did God come looking for? Well, let me see how Adam's doing with naming the animals. Let me check in and see how he's doing with, the birds. How's he doing with the vegetable garden? What's going on with the fruit trees? Has he been working on those? No, God came to go for a walk. Somebody wrote a song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Precious Jesus is my plea. Daily walking, what? Close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord. If I read Genesis right, God came to the garden because He wanted to go on a walk with man. He wanted to walk and talk with him. He wanted to have fellowship with him. He wanted to be personal. He wanted to be real. He wanted to be close. And God still wants the same thing. You don't love me. Oh, why does it have to have that other part in the verse? Does your Bible say more than just, you don't love me? What else does it say? Oh, you don't love. Listen, if our love life with God is not right, our love life will never be what God desired it to fully be with anyone else. You know, the unrighteous, the unsaved, can never really understand the depths and the quality of love. Only a child of God can understand that. Because when God talks about loving us, He talks about loving us unconditionally. Which means whether you're the bad, bad black sheep, or you're the bad, bad white sheep. He loves us and He reveals that love by dying for us. That's what God said to me about the cross. Jonathan, if you're going to wear a cross, I want you to put it on and remember that today I'm taking up His cross and following Him and I'm ready to die in a moment for His cause. Jesus died that we might have life. This is kind of a tough message looking at fire on the altar, but we're talking about revival in the big picture. This is what revival is. We talk about being revived. We're talking about stirring up the embers. We're talking about deepening our awareness and relationship of God. What we're talking about is revival. So you don't love me or each other as you did at first. Now, there's some other verses that deal with this, we find in Matthew chapter 22, where the crowds are listening in verse 33, the Pharisees heard he had silenced the Sadducees in verse 34. And then in verse 35, this is in Matthew chapter 22, verse 35, one of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. It really comes back to love. The light is only fueled by a love relationship with God. There's no light or life or salt in the church if there is not deep, passionate love for God. Love the Lord. Boy, we could talk about those three things with your heart, your soul, your mind. One passage says, in your strength. This is the greatest commandment. So what's the next greatest commandment? Jesus is going to answer that. A second, equally important. Second, the King James, I think, says, is likened unto it. Or like it. Love your neighbor. Neighbor, my neighbor. So you know they're going to have to ask and say, well, who's my neighbor, right? So you remember that story already that the priest walked by and, you know, eventually you have one of those half-breeds, those Samaritans that shows up and actually has compassion on the one that's in the ditch, beaten up, scuffed up, bleeding. Love your neighbors yourself. This loving our neighbors ourselves is on the earth. Remember what's on the earth? The salt's on the earth. The light is from God. So the light from God is like the sun. That light is inside of us. But we're walking and living on this earth. So on this earth, we're to be the salt. And so loving your neighbor as yourself means that we love them if they mock us. We love them if they lie about us. We love them if they abuse us. If they have a need, we're looking for a need that we can fill. This is what the light does. The light looks for a dark place. The light always looks to penetrate the darkness. And so the salt and the light, the fire from the altar and the light from the candelabra, they only work when there is a deep, genuine love relationship. And that relationship is first with God and then it's with others. All of the commandments and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Wow. Huh. Back to Revelation 2. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. I don't know how many couples I've had in my office over the years for marital counseling. You know what I hear repeatedly? We don't love each other anymore. And I often will ask them this question, Did you ever love each other? They don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about the fact we don't love each other anymore. And sometimes they'll even say, and we certainly don't like each other either. One night the power went off. I was counseling a couple. Well, actually, I was listening to a couple. There was no counsel. Most couples that come for counseling, they're not coming for counseling. They're coming to find an ally that will agree with one or the other and tell the other one, you're wrong. And if you weren't you, and there'd be no problems here. The power went off. Now, this couple, you have to understand, they'd been married a while, and they were kind of blessed financially, and he had a big truck, and she had some kind of a big vehicle, and they just had a spat, and they went and got in their cars, and they did what you only do in a bumper car ring. You ever been in a bumper car? If you haven't, you missed something. Maybe you're too old to want to do that. It might jar something loose. And in a bumper car, you have this big bumper all the way around. It goes all the way around you, and people slam into you from this side and that side, and you know, you get slammed. They did that in the parking lot to each other in their nice new vehicles. And they beat them up real bad, you know. As long as they could drive them, they keep just slamming it into gear. And bam, and backing up. Well, I'll get you a better one. And bam, and that's what they're doing. Good Christian people. Showing the light of Jesus and letting the salt hit the fan. And mom and dad's like, okay, you've got to go see Pastor. You have serious problems. And the lights went out. They're telling me this story, and the lights go out, and they've been screaming at each other, please, would just one of you talk at a time so I can hear what you're saying? The lights went out, and God is my witness, I believe it was at least 30 minutes that the lights were out. And for that whole time, they couldn't see each other. They just screamed at each other for that whole time in the dark. The lights came on, and it didn't get any better. Well, what happened? Didn't you guys love each other? Well, we don't love each other now. You know what normally the discussion is? At some point we quit dating. Huh. That's where there's nothing else going on other than the two of you. At some point we quit dating. At some point we quit having intimacy. At some point, well, she began to spend more time with the girls at work, and he began to spend more time with the guys, and they weren't together. And then other things began to get into their life. But you know what? They were going to church the whole time. They came to church together. There was a whole row of the family. It was like, man, these are perfect Christians. But inside, their relationship had grown cold. I believe this is the devil's plan against us.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart.